This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Later in the show, commentator and economics professor Walter William weighs in on the state of the U.S. First up this afternoon, the Miami University Center for Community Engagement in Over the Rhine establishes collaborations between the university and community groups in the neighborhood, providing opportunities for students, faculty, and community learning in an environment that fosters and supports social justice and community transformation. Joining us to discuss the center are Dr. Tammy Schwartz, director of the Miami University Urban Teaching Cohort, Cincinnati professor of community engagement Thomas Dutton, director of the Miami University Center for Community Engagement in Over the Rhine, and John Blake, Center for Community Engagement Coordinator of Community Projects and director of the Over the Rhine Design Build Studio. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Tom, Tammy, and John, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tom, can you tell us how the center got its start?
Well, we became a center in 2002, February 2002. It's a recognized center by the university, by the Board of Trustees. We're very happy to be at 1300 Vine Street, which is also called Buddy's Place. And it is a space where we are able to bring faculty, students, community organizers, community leaders, you know, to deal with the deep social problems that are in this neighborhood. And so we've had a lot of success over the years. In 2006, we started something with the embrace of the community that we called the Over the Rhine Residency Program. We are now in our 10th iteration of that, started in fall 2006. And so next year, we'll be celebrating our 10th anniversary of that of that program. And I think we'll want to explain a little bit about what that residency program. But maybe
We will definitely get to that, okay. Tom. So, John, the design build studio, what was the role of architecture in getting this whole thing started?
Really, we began in the mid to late 90s coming to Over the Rhine to do small scale projects in the community. So we would take on some single family residences, apartments, et cetera. And the idea there was for the students to get more hands-on experience with building and so that they can understand who they're building for. Often in design education, things are done as on paper or on the computer, even more so now. And we find it's very important to have that understanding of how things really go together. And pretty quickly, Tom and I found out that the students really were looking for more. We were coming down 3 days a week in the afternoon from Oxford, Ohio, down to Cincinnati. And it's quite a commute. So invariably, people had to go back. And we felt like we were, in some ways, tourists coming down to the neighborhood and just checking things out, doing some stuff, and then going home. And the students had a lot of questions about why are conditions in this neighborhood this way at the time. And we started seeing that as a way that we could improve education to go beyond just what are we building, but who are we building it for, and how are we really making connections?
Yeah, and then what's really interesting, it was the students who pushed this very heavily because they were learning a lot about design build. By the way, the lingo design build is exactly as it sounds. Students design and then build out.
And actually build it, okay.
And build this out. We've been working mostly, almost exclusively, with Over the Rhine Community Housing, one of our most important community partners. And trying to be so directive and, like you said, we were doing this 3 days a week, trying to be so focused on achieving that work that it was the students that said, Tom, John, we're just not learning very deeply about the community. And that is what led to establishing a center that we got going into.
And the center has been everything from a gallery space to a teaching space, seminar room to a workshop.
Retreat space.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of different things that happen in that storefront on Vine.
Tammy, I've been talking about the Urban Teaching Cohort and then the relationship it has with the center.
Sure. So the Urban Teaching Cohort, which started at Miami University in 2008, is a place-based and community-based approach to teacher education. It is an opportunity for students at Miami who have a desire to teach in an urban setting and want additional sets of experiences, courses, and seminars that are aimed to allow them to deeply embed themselves in a community and have experiences where they are engaged with community organizations, community residents, students from one of our partner schools, Rothenburg Preparatory Academy in Over the Rhine, teachers in the community as well. So it's kind of a village approach to raising a teacher, so to speak. Okay. So our relationship to the program is many of our students who go through our program choose to do the fall residency program where they are living in the community, taking a class with Tom Dutton on the American City, and then also student teaching. So it's kind of cool because for a lot of our students, they'll see their families of their students in the neighborhood, in the grocery store, in the park, build relationships in ways that are a little more challenging when you're not in the place and not aware of what's happening in the place.
It's putting the human face on teaching, just like it's putting the human face on architecture, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's an opportunity for our students, too. I often say that it's very easy in the way that the media positions urban education and urban communities and urban spaces like Over the Rhine to kind of position them from a deficit perspective rather than an asset perspective. And as our students work alongside families and children and the teachers, they begin to see, look at the wealth of knowledge here. Look at all the gifts that we need to be utilizing in our classroom and building curriculum around those gifts. So we say, we want you to learn about the school from the community perspective, not learn about the community from the school perspective, which sometimes can be positioned negatively.
So you said the students, they pushed for this as far as forming this relationship with Over the Rhine. What are some of the other reasons that you wanted to do this particular project in Over the Rhine?
Well, we knew that by bringing students down to Over the Rhine to live there for a full semester would be certainly a very good way to study the neighborhood. But we didn't want to use the neighborhood as a laboratory. We wanted students to, by being in the neighborhood, living there full time, working in organizations that primarily serve deep social need. Organizations, we've already mentioned Over the Rhine Community Housing, but we could also mention the
Peasley Neighborhood Center.
Coalition for the Homeless.
Right. And Contact Center, Peasley Neighborhood Center. All these places that have long track records of really addressing deep social need in the neighborhood. And so the power of this program, and by the way, teachers are involved and architecture students, interior design students are involved, but every major has almost been a part of this program. We've had business majors, we've had sociology majors, geographers.
Social work.
Yeah, speech pathology.
Speech pathology.
Yeah. Philosopher. Yeah. We had a philosophy major one semester.
Right. So
a philosophy major.
That is correct.
We end up placing a lot of them with some of these partner organizations that we have in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. They might have a particular need that we have. A certain student comes through that has that expertise or that desire. And we've had all kinds of things happen within the neighborhood that go far beyond the typical teaching model or the architectural education model.
Right.
Well, who are some of the partners that you're involved with?
Well, like the organizations that Tom had mentioned earlier. Okay. A lot of these organizations on the ground we've seen are really incredible in their enthusiasm and the range of programming that they're trying to supply for the people in the community. So we can sometimes we are helping them just roll up sleeves and do things. More often, we like to take the expertise that the students are building and see how that they can gain the community knowledge and then make a larger team. Mm-hmm. We're finding with architects, the model for architecture is, of course, like you envision the man with the cape and the tam o' shanter, who is the omnipotent designer. And that really, we have to beat that knowledge perception down pretty quickly, because really what we're doing is not only community-based work, but we have multiple students working on one relatively small project at the same time. So we have to pretty quickly set aside any notions we have about having the perfect idea and being able to bestow that upon the community. And I think that's really, once we break that down, both within the community and within our studio, it has a remarkable effect on inclusion, bringing a lot of people in, even from the community, to let them know that, like, they have an integral part in determining what happens in this community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to tag off onto that, John, too, when you're talking about working with the community members and the community agencies as being an integral part. One of the highlights of our program, particularly with the Urban Teaching Cohort, is that some of our courses or seminars have been co-planned and are co-taught by a public school teacher, Malika Huey, community members, and a list goes on and on. Jen Ahrens from the Peasley Neighborhood Center helps to coordinate that, and Miami faculty. So we value knowledge that is outside of the university and that is deeply held within the history of this community.
So the collaborations are very important to making this whole program work.
Right. And we'd also say that the success of this program is not just because the students live there. I mean, it is important for them to be living there, of course. And then working in these organizations, the student teachers are doing their full-time student teaching at Rotenburg or Euler or Chase.
Taft,
or
Chase.
Things like that. The architecture majors, interior design majors are designing a building, but social workers are working with licensed social workers in the neighborhood. And we try and put students very, you know, closely matched up with their career futures of what they would like to be. We had an anthropologist in the major in the program a couple years ago who wanted to be a doctor and is entering his second year of medical school up in Toledo. So he worked at a medical facility at the time. It's important living here. It's important doing the service learning work, working in this organization, but you have to add in the actual courses that they take. There's generally three courses that they take. There's also journaling and reflection that happens every week. Bonnie Neumeier, long-term resident in the neighborhood and community liaison to the Center for Community Engagement, runs that. And it's absolutely pivotal that students go through writing prompts and journaling to understand what is happening to them through this whole experience.
A lot of them we find after a certain period of time. Typically, we say it's about 6 weeks, but there's sort of an awakening that happens or a surprise, like, wow, this is very different than what we had anticipated, even though we knew it would be different. Some of our program, the aspect of coming from Oxford to Cincinnati offers contrast. So it's a lot of students that might not be from an urban setting initially, and then they wind up in an urban setting. There's that.
Generally, Miami students, you know, for the most part, you know, not exclusively, but they come from small town and suburban backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So coming to an environment like this is really quite different. There's every year we have them write student reflections at the end. And I'd like to read you one or two of these. These are kind of powerful.
Hold off on that till we get through our break, Tom.
Okay.
We'll talk about the student reflections because they are very interesting. We will continue our conversation about the Miami University Center for Community Engagement in Over the Rhine. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest this afternoon, Dr. Tammy Schwartz, director of the Miami University Urban Teaching Cohort, Cincinnati Professor of Community Engagement Thomas Dutton, director of the Miami University Center for Community Engagement in Over the Rhine, and John Blake, Center for Community Engagement Coordinator of Community Projects and director of the Over the Rhine Design Build Studio. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Before we hit the break there, you wanted to talk about some of the reflections that students have had in going through this program.
Yes, thanks. In 2007, there was a student. He was in the business school, and this is what he had to say. Coming to Over the Rhine, I was confident in the permanency of my beliefs, beliefs that have never been thoroughly challenged. Thankfully, I was not unwilling to be altered. I just didn't think it would happen. Living and learning in Over the Rhine has been the most significant event in my life. I am the different person I never thought I needed to be.
Sounds like there was a life-changing experience for this person.
Yeah. Right. One of the ways, too, that it really impacts the students in our program who have the opportunity to have multiple, actually before the fall residency program, but especially when they're in the fall residency program is, as I mentioned before, seeing their students, families in the neighborhood. One of the student teachers in one of her reflections wrote, "This experience allowed me to connect to students and families in a way that many teachers never have the opportunity to do. And not only did this build a relationship with my students and their parents, but it also helped me to improve instruction. It's about building those relationships and being able to kind of build on that knowledge as a way to kind of tweak instruction in a way that engages youth more.
Well, you're actually working with people as opposed to just sitting in a classroom learning about education.
That's right. Right. Yeah, we're not just teaching at Miami and say, okay, go do that.
Okay.
We have a similar thing. I tell students they're never going to have an architecture project when they work at a firm that's any closer to where they live, or nor will they have such an intimate relationship typically with the client, so-called. Here's a student I had, I guess, 2 years ago in the design build studio. Her reflection at the end of the semester is as such. I can't say that I arrived in Over the Rhine as completely naive, but I can say I was indifferent. I feel the true gift of the residency program is its ability to make indifference difficult. So that one we especially liked.
But the one we liked the most.
saved it till last.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
No, this was Drew. It was in the cohort in 2006. He said, before setting foot in Over the Rhine, poverty didn't exist. Secluded by picket fences and cul-de-sacs and half-acre lawns and strip malls, my perception was that everyone had the resources and money necessary to make it in America. Over the Rhine hit me like a bat hitting an apple. Everything that made sense crumbled. It's a powerful statement because when you think about it, you know, what he was viscerally experiencing every day was not explainable by more or less his whiter middle class mindset that he walked in with. And there was a dissonance there, a tension that he had to work through. So when he says that everything made sense crumbled, it's really very hard psychological work to kind of go through that, to kind of put that back together in a way that makes new sense to him.
I really, too, in years working with the program and in working with our urban teaching cohort students, this is not just about head work. This is about some deep inner work that we're asking our students to do. And it is hard. It is hard. And so when a student comes to me or calls me up crying about something, and I know now they're going to see the world in a different way, and everything that they do as a teacher is going to come from that. I've said before, we can teach students at the university all the methods and techniques possible. But if something in that person, that prospective teacher, doesn't shift, they could possibly do more damage than good. And so when I hear that worlds are crumbling and paradigms are crumbling and having to be reshaped, that's cause for a celebration.
Yeah.
We also see a lot of our students from the first residency program, somebody fired a warning shot and said, you know, we're going to have to keep in touch with them after they go back to the university, because often they're not in their final year. And I sort of scoffed at that a little bit. And then it was true. The students who were returning had as much reacclimation in going back to the university. And many of them didn't return, frankly. We've had some that have stayed on in the neighborhood to help as full-time employees, as teachers.
And
right?
One is actually just getting ready to close on a house.
So, we find that a lot of them not only take in the neighborhood as a means to an end education-wise, but also a place that they want to be and help work with the community.
So they actually become part of the community.
Absolutely. Right.
We've had multiple instances of that, yes.
And we know so many who have had to go off to other parts of the United States for graduate school and so forth are still trying to get back here. Mm-hmm. They would like to come back and be a part
of
that.
Or doing their thesis work on a particular aspect of what's going on in Over the Rhine.
Lauren from Indiana called. She wanted to ask if you could talk about the impact on the people who live in Over the Rhine. How's the community view this, and how's this affecting them?
That's a good question.
It's a real good question, and it's one we struggle with because we're mostly talking here about the students, and the students learn a ton and go through an impactful experience. But, you know, the ethic from the community to us is that we need to learn too, you know, and it isn't. The community is not just there for the students, We have to figure out the quid pro quo. Mm-hmm. The challenge, actually, the community puts on us that we try and live up to, and it's very difficult. They say, seek out those most vulnerable, most oppressed, so that you may learn how to live. Now, that's one heck of a challenge, you know, to do that. So the community people that we work with are very clear. They understand how students gain from this experience, but this is not just for them. There has to be learning and growth and development and progress and change that happens for the organizations that we're working with as well.
Tammy, do you want to weigh in too?
I when you ask that question, I think about some of the community members we work with who help to or who do not help. They co-teach that one of our seminars, and watching, you know, they, one of them even said, when you asked me to do this, I thought that I didn't have anything to add. I thought that I didn't really know anything. And, you know, and I see I'm talking more, I'm sharing more in those sessions, and people who oftentimes their voices have not been acknowledged or valued. And when we're saying, yes, your voice is important, especially as we're, you know, preparing teachers to teach your babies in the school, that your voice does matter. So hearing them say that, and we also, too, we work with youth. Our first-year students in the urban teaching cohort actually get a mentor in their first year, and it's a kid in a public school who's their mentor. And we through a number of projects that we do together, I'll never forget last year when we were engaging the youth in a project. She goes, you know, my voice does matter. It is important that I share my voice. I just thought nobody wanted to listen.
Wow.
And we see with design work, you know, design is often about who has the money to do it and who has the luxury of time and et cetera. And who owns the property. So there's some interesting things that we go through with that about, you know, how there's some remarkable things happening in Over the Rhine, both from it being a historical site and all the renovation that's been happening. And we have to back up and question those things. Yes, from a visual standpoint, from an architectural or a design standpoint, a lot of great things going on, some really interesting new things going up, some preservation of things that might have fallen. But we have to have a critique about why those things are happening and who they're really benefiting. I think that's something that we ask a lot within our program, and the answer is not always a simple one.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation, and let's talk with Will in Blue Ash. Hi, Will.
Hey, how you doing? First-time caller to this show, and I just wanted to call and say hi first to Tammy and say hi to Tom Zetton and Tammy Schwartz. I worked alongside them as a member of Contact Center, which is an organization, a nonprofit organization, does community organizing, right? And just wanted to say how much I appreciate the work that they've done and helped out in trying to educate folks and getting teachers down there and educating interns about the community. I don't live in the community. I used to work down there years ago. And I'm just happy that that they're being, you know, that attention and awareness is being brought to the work they're doing by way of this show. They mentioned Rothenburg. Rothenburg is a school I actually did some work helping out with teachers, second and third grade kids in that school. And I can recall vividly remembering Tammy Schwartz down there all the time. Tom Dutton, he does a lot of work in terms of the work he does in educating as well. Wanted to again mention about how much I appreciate the work that they've done.
And thank you for the call, Will. We appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thank you,
thanks, Will.
Right. One thing I was just thinking about in terms of how do we characterize our program and this quid pro quo that we're trying to develop between the community and students and faculty and things, is that one way to think about this is that we are not a charity model, right? Mm-hmm. This is not about helping.
No. Nope.
This is about engagement. This is about walking with, learning with the people from this community. And when the students develop those relationships and those friendships and they build that trust, you know, it changes everything. It changes them. It also changes the people down there. People are able to share their stories with students. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they've never been able to do something like that before. And these are life-changing events for all kinds of people.
It sounds like you hit home with Will quite well.
Right. Yeah. You know, I just was meeting with one of our the teachers, one of the public school teachers in CPS who helps to teach one of our seminars, Shirley Easley, and we were talking yesterday. The relationships that she's built with some of the students in the program, they're out teaching in Cincinnati Public Schools, are calling her up 3 and 4 times a week last week with her starting in their classrooms again. So those relationships continue far beyond their time in the program.
And many of the design, build, architecture programs at the university level happen overseas. There's sort of a desire to go to where there's a disaster area, perhaps Haiti or in the Gulf 10 years ago, et cetera. And that, as important as that is, we also feel like there's plenty to be done in your backyard. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have to go somewhere remote or exotic to implement some design ideas. In fact, it could be rougher in your own community in some ways with permitting, with the process, and with having to have these conversations with people about what's getting done. But when you do so, I think it's something that's perhaps transferable to these future professionals. They can go out and they really know how to how to handle a meeting and how to deal with other folks.
And I think, it builds an inner skill set that no matter where they go afterwards, as they've mentioned, that you're now making decisions within your particular profession in a different way because of your experience in the program. And that's encouraging, particularly given what's going on in our country. You know, we talk a lot about it's great to build a great architect and it's great to build a great X, Y, and Z teacher. But, you know, part of the work that we're doing is really, you know, working alongside with a lot of people to help shape really great human beings.
Well, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Tammy Schwartz, who's director of the Miami University Urban Teaching Cohort, Cincinnati Professor of Community Engagement Thomas Dutton, director of the Miami University Center for Community Engagement and Over the Rhine, and John Blake, Center for Community Engagement Coordinator of Community Projects and director of the Over the Rhine Design Build Studio. Coming up, George Mason economic professor Walter Williams on his new book, American Contempt for Liberty. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.